You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits, my go-to shop for any and all Breckenridge Brewery, as I got myself a Hot Peak IPA right here. It is Thursday, another day of Avs training camp. We'll get into that in a bit, but first, I'm Rudo, he's AJ, and we have a brand new hockey team name to talk about. As the Seattle expansion team officially going with the Kraken name. It's a great name. Look, it's no Rain City Bee Pigeons, but the Kraken's a good second choice.
Yeah, I mean, after Rain City, it was there was no living up to that. That would have been Fabu, but you know, we can't live in that world. Instead, we're living in a pretty good one as it is with the Kraken being the name. Now I don't have to look in. I don't have to look at that Twitter handle say NHL Seattle anymore.
Yeah, right.
It's an actual. They're a real organization with jerseys and a name and colors and. It's great. Honestly, I love it. That's the name I've wanted this entire time. There were problems with all of the other alternatives that I liked.
Yep.
So this was the easy one, and it's so much better than Sockeye, which was such a lame name.
Yeah. The had they gone with the fish name, I would have been extremely disappointed. The Sockeye is not a... First of all, it gets killed by the other teams in Seattle, like the Seahawks. Secondly, it loses to what should be their biggest rival in the NHL, which is Vancouver, who I technically they're Canucks, right? But their logo's an orca.
Yeah.
So it would have been a terrible choice on that front. But the reason I like the Kraken name is because I think it dives away from the classic NHL boringness of like picking standard team names. The Kraken is something unique to sports.
It's not even just the NHL, you know. When Houston got its expansion football team, they named it the freaking Texans.
Yeah, really going out on a limb
like
with that name.
Boy. And like that's in a city that has a theme.
Yep.
Like it's Space City. You know, you have the Astros and the Rockets. Like, there was a theme there. Their WNBA team was the Comets. Like, they had a theme, and they were like, Texans. Like, what the hell is this?
Really?
Even the AHL team was the Arrows.
Yeah. Like,
it was... Football's right.
Too so, late. Houston and Dallas, they got the Texans and the Stars. Really, really creative there.
Right. Well, and like the Cowboys with the star as the logo.
Yeah, Cowboys as well. Get it together, Texas. That's what we're saying here.
Yeah, well, and then like their baseball team where the Rockies have opening day tomorrow is the Rangers.
Yeah. At least they had the Astros are a decent name, but.
Yeah, well, and like the Rampage was awesome, and Rampage now the Rampage are gone. Yeah.
Yep.
So, anyway, moving away from Texas. point is that sports team names are very generic.
Yes.
And very lame. And like the one time the NHL tried to do something cool, they ended up with the Minnesota Wild. Maybe the least cool thing ever.
It's just way too vague. You can't just say, oh, it's the All of the Wild. That you end up with a man bear pig logo.
Right. And then you end up with the most confusing, misleading logo ever, where you're like, oh, it's a bear? Are you sure it's a bear? And like, you know, and then Jibble Scribbets picks it apart and it becomes the place where Zach Parise buries bodies. And like, that's all I see it as now because it was that bad. So yeah. I love the Kraken. I think it's cool. I think it's also cool that they did not force themselves into the little box of using all the team colors from all the other Seattle teams. Cause like some of the other teams here. Yeah. See some of the other teams in there in Seattle kind of went with that theme, and these guys did not feel the need to be like, hey, we have to pigeonhole ourselves into this. We're going to do what we're going to do.
And
I really like that.
But it's not that just horrendous shade of green.
Yeah, and it's different because there's a lot of teams that have blue, but none of them have that blue.
Yep,
exactly. And like the logo is subtle but creative, and the anchor is great. How could you not love the anchor / space needle?
Yep.
It's so awesome.
That, like, I don't have a good name for it, but the anchor space needle is like Hartford Whalers category S tier logo.
Oh, it's perfect. Just we should have gotten Eric to come on here and talk about whether or not.
Yeah, we really should have.
Like from a design perspective, how good this is, because I feel like they crushed it. So I love this. I'm a huge fan of it. It's a cool name. This is everything that, like, as much as everything went right with Vegas, the unveiling of the name and the logo and all that was
a disaster. Yeah,
it
man.
Was not great. It's a dumb name with an ugly kit, and that remains true today. And so this is already a much better start, which means they'll probably be terrible those first couple of years. Now
garbage team.
I'm already looking forward to the draft where the first kid gets picked and he gets to pull that thing on, because I think it's gonna look so cool in person.
Are they drafting in the 2021 draft, right?
Yep. Next, I was gonna say next June, whenever they have it.
Next NHL draft after the coming one.
Right.
Which, they should have the expansion draft before the draft.
Yeah, they'll probably have it a couple days before.
Yeah, that's how it worked last time. So
combine it with the NHL awards, just like they did last time. It just won't be in the same city this time.
Yep.
Or put the awards in Seattle.
Do it. You won't. Anyway, it's...
Do it. You won't.
Can I very zoom aggressive on this? Not really. It just resets itself every time. Anyway, the logo itself, obviously the S for Seattle. You have the little Kraken eye there.
Yeah, the eye is cool. It's a nice touch.
Well, it's nicely fit because you have the like tentacle coming through the S as well. I think I'm not a big fan of like just slapping a letter on a jersey a lot.
Yeah.
But I think they did a better job than most when it came to that.
Absolutely. Had it just been the S without the tentacle or the eye, this would be lame.
Yep.
It would be like the Seattle S's. Got it.
Seattle stupids.
Like this is okay, great. I love this. And I love the white version of it. Like I think it looks so clean. And I'm really excited to see what it actually looks like in person. See how much that pops, because I think the white version of it is going to make a great hat.
I almost wish, and no team does. No team, like, their logo is always their logo, right? But I almost wish on the white version the logo was that darker shade of blue.
I would want to see it first to see how I feel about it, but it's an interesting idea. I do know that I'm 100% getting a hat with that anchor logo.
Dude, that, for real. It's the best logo I've seen in a long, long time. I hope they make a third jersey out of that legitimately. And then you can have the Anchors face off against the Isles Fisherman third jersey, and it'll be the best day ever.
It's about to get pornographic in here.
Okay. All right. Well, other than that, let's see. Cygnus says, AJ, your beard. I see how it is. You're just going to ignore me. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine. We don't need to talk about that at all. It's not like AJ's beard was shaved yesterday.
Right.
But wrapping up on the Kraken side of things, let me go here, because this is something we'll get into probably a little bit later on the show as well. How much do you think the flat cap affects Seattle's expansion decisions?
Not.
None?
I think that it's going to force teams either to make the deal, the kinds of deals that Minnesota, Florida, teams like that made during the Vegas expansion, or it's just going to flat out force teams to expose maybe a $5 or $6 million player that they really don't want to expose, but they're in enough trouble that they have to. Like, look at Vancouver right now, right?
Yeah.
You look at, and obviously they have a whole offseason to go before they get to that, but there's a decent chance that because of the money that they've committed already, that they're going to have to expose somebody pretty dang good just because of where they are.
Can't afford to keep them, essentially, yeah.
Right, and where it's like, hey, them taking this $6 million or this $5 million off our hands would be more helpful so that we can put that to two more players instead of just this one guy, as much as we like this guy.
So you're saying it actually benefits Seattle?
I think I do. I think it's going to benefit them because teams have been planning for the expansion draft to some extent. They haven't, like, you know, they've had it in mind when they've been making deals the last couple of years. But, like, right now, today, how much nicer would it be if Seattle could take Jonas Donskoy's contract off Colorado's hands and they could turn around and give that to Vlad Namestnikov?
Right. Take it every day of the week.
And that's where, like, that's the caliber of player Colorado looks like they're probably going to lose next year.
Yep.
So it'll either be one of those guys or it'll be one of the defensemen and maybe a goaltender. So it could be anybody, AJ says. Not helping whatsoever.
Very, very specific of you.
But I think it's going to, like, Colorado's in a good cap situation, so they're fine.
Right.
They won't have to do
on them if they give away $3 million or $2 million. Like,
right. Like, if they lose Frankie at $2 million, they're okay with that.
Yeah.
If they lose Donskoy at $3.9 million, they lose Comfer at $3.5 million, they lose Jost at $1 million. Whatever happens, like, they can live with that. If they lose a Zadorov or a Graves at
two or whatever,
wherever
3.2 Zadorov's at,
they will end up in different places. So wherever those guys end up, like, it won't make a massive difference for the Avs either direction.
Yep.
A million here
is nice, but it's not crucial.
There will be other teams where it's going to be a big difference, where the cap crunch is going to force tough decisions this offseason. And because it's not going up next offseason, like, when you're planning for this to continue to go up a couple, like, teams were planning for it, maybe not to go up $7 million in year one, but certainly they were planning for an $88 million cap 2 years from now.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, minimum. I think most teams were planning for at least an $83 million cap this year before.
Oh, yeah, the 83 or 84, for sure you were talking about there were going to be a couple million-dollar jump. And that pays for three or four player raises. Like, small player raises, or that pays for a new guy entirely, depending on which situation you're in. Right. So that's huge. Even $3 million is a huge amount of breathing room for teams to do work with, because you can get all kinds of creative. But now, with it being flat, they're stuck, man.
You look at a team like Toronto, who essentially, I think they re-signed Muzzin, but outside of them, they have to sign an entire defense this offseason, and $3 million is Nikita Zadorov. Like,
right. Well, and I think they have $4 million in cap space. And it's like, hey, if Tyson Berry wants to play on a 1 year, $1 million deal for some insane reason, like, great, they will do that. But it doesn't make sense for Tyson to take that deal.
Spoiler alert, I don't think Tyson wants anything to do with Toronto after this year. But
I can see him wanting to play there because family, legacy, whatever. It's a great hockey town, blah, blah. I could also see him being like, this sucked piece.
I guess Babcock's not there anymore. So
right. I could totally see it happening either way. Like, Toronto is still a desirable location because guys love to play there. They love that the town is crazy about the game and that they become celebrities. Not everybody wants to hide.
Yeah.
You know, some guys love being the star. So Toronto, whether you like it or not, makes you
you're in the spotlight at very least.
Certainly a central figure, if not a star. So I'm of the opinion when we get there, it's going to help Seattle because it's going to improve the player pool, because the team will have to make a hard decision where they have to protect a $3 million guy over a $5 million guy, and that $5 million guy should be better, and that should benefit Seattle in those situations.
All right.
I also think they're going to have so many good goaltending options.
Yeah. The tandems in the league are going to give them some seriously good options.
Imagine if they had been on schedule and it was this offseason.
Do you have your choice of Math or Leonard?
You could even in Colorado.
Franzos ain't too shabby.
You're dude, we'll take, even if he ends up being our backup, Frankie at $2 million.
Yeah, exactly. Angela asks, what's Colorado's theme in terms of sports? They don't really have one, right? Because there's three different owners in Colorado. All the Kroenke teams have the blue and red, given that they own the Rapids as well and some other teams. But
yeah, but they're all related to Colorado and kind of either something historical, like the Nuggets relates to the gold rush in the 1800s. And then obviously the Rapids. Go rafting here pretty easily.
Colorado River.
Right. You, the Avs, the Avalanche, obviously.
Yeah.
Where do
Avalanches happen in the Rockies?
Yeah. The Rockies just co-opted an entire mountain range and we're like, yeah, you're Colorados now.
Yeah. They really are Colorados now, too. Like, what do people say about Colorado? They're all the Rocky Mountains.
Right.
Every single time.
Like, disregard that the Rocky Mountain Range is, like massive.
Up in Calgary, too, guys.
Right. Like, and it stretches down, through the Americas. And it's
Nope, it's Colorado.
It's Colorado's. And then, the Broncos is, an homage to the Old West feel. This was a dusty cow town once upon a time. So, it's that's kind of Colorado's. They don't have it's not like with Space City in Houston where they were all very similarly themed. Colorado's, but they all of Colorado's relate to Colorado in some way, except for maybe the Mammoth.
Yeah, that I don't think they've dug up any Mammoth here.
I know that they have found dinosaur tracks and they have Dinosaur Ridge and all that, but I don't know specifically if the mammoth were involved in that. I just don't know. If they were, that's cool. It's kind of like why Dinger is the Rockies mascot.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted. I just watched RK miss a putt that I would miss in WGT golf over here at the Oddcast Cup. Disappointing, to say the least.
Do you know how that's going?
I don't know how that's going. I just saw one random highlight clip, so I have no idea what the score is, but you might want to go check it out on Twitter, DNVR_sports, the Oddcast Cup rematch going on right now if you're a golf fan. Or you can always go play WGT Golf with us on your mobile device or on your computer. Either way, WGT Golf is the most popular golf game out there with more than 20 million people that love to play it. You can search for dnvrgolf.com to download and then find DNVR2 to get into our second clubhouse, which I believe still has a couple spots left. I think But DNVR 3 will be starting up very soon as well to make sure everyone is in the clubhouses and can play in our weekly tournaments. We have another one coming up this weekend. I tried last weekend, man. I should have had such a good round, and it just all fell apart on me. Like, could have easily been a top five score and ended up like six over. It was pretty, pretty disappointing, to say the least. But if you want to come out and beat me and AJ in a video game, WGT Golf is the thing for you. And of course, we also have Breckenridge Brewery, our favorite beer sponsor. I got the Hot Peak IPA, drinking one right now. Going to go have a couple more down at the bar tonight as AJ, I, and I believe Drew, will be playing some 3-on-3 NHL 20 tonight. Getting down with that, and by getting down, I mean probably getting straight bodied. But we're gonna try.
Drew and I played a game the other day just to test it out, and we won.
Oh God!
Two of us level ones, and like against two guys who were like level 35 or something, and we beat them 3-2 in overtime.
All right, so I'm gonna go download that Seattle Kraken anchor and make that my logo, so people know who the anchor on the team is. Because I'm gonna be weighing everybody down. But
I lost every face off because I still don't know how to take them.
So all right, good to know that you're the center. Roger that.
I had to be. And maybe if Evan's around tonight, he'll play. We'll play.
There you go.
5v5, and he can play.
Evan can carry us. He's pretty good, right? I'm pretty sure.
Probably he's good at everything.
Okay.
Comment section is giving us an education that apparently there is a lengthy mammoth history in Colorado.
All right. Well, there you go.
Great.
Here's what we know. We'll stick to hockey from here on out. But again,
I grew up learning Texas history. I'm sorry.
Head on down to the farmhouse and pick up your Breckenridge Brew, whatever you prefer, the Avalanche Amber, the Hot Peak, the Mile High City, you name it, and you get $5 off when you use code DNVR to schedule your pickup. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. AJ, there was in fact a day of Avalanche training camp today, and they even gave you a little bit of scrimmaging to watch. So was it a good one or just another day?
Frankie got the shutout. The white team won 2-0. And this was after I thought Frankie had a real tough day yesterday. So good for him. I will say the two best scoring chances that Burgundy produced both missed the net.
Gotta finish, baby.
Rantanen's a freak, by the way. He blocked a shot at the blue line, walked around EJ, had a clean breakaway by himself, and tried to one-hand backhand it. And he ended up getting all of it and firing this backhand missile about 6 inches over the crossbar.
Since it's come up, can we just talk about how absurd Rantanen's backhand is? Like, it legit. Outside of Sidney Crosby, is there a better backhand in the league?
I don't know, but the only guy that I can think of that has as lethal a backhand is Crosby. Rantanen's backhand is so nasty. And watching that today, like, I was like, was he just messing around or
not even trying and pulling that off?
Is he trying to incorporate this into a thing? Because like he had a clean breakaway. He had a full step on EJ and was totally good. He was in the clear and he still tried it like this one handed, like, and he got all of it, man. Like it was not like some like soft little floater. He got it all and just went over the crossbar. And
if you're missing backhands by firing it over the crossbar, you're doing something right.
Dude, it was ridiculous, man. I was like, good Lord. And then Comfer on his backhand as well, but his was a rebound. Frankie flashed he got the right pad down on a rebound just in time. Moved over and one of those classic, really athletic Frankie plays.
Yeah, definitely his style for sure.
Yeah, to give up the juicy rebound and then to shut it down. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Very Frankie.
it was a really good scoring chance, but JT just could not quite get it around that pad. And those were their best scoring chances. They didn't. Comfort did hit the post on a power play attempt. that I got on video, so I can actually prove
we'll
that.
We'll put one. It on the post counter then.
Yeah. So there was that, but otherwise it was pretty competitive. Byram smoked Kadri. Zadorov had multiple big hits that he ended up like bear hugging the guy to kind of like give him like a, hey, P.S. I could have probably ended your life just now, but we're on the same team.
I chose to hug you instead.
Yeah. So I gave you love instead of putting you into next week.
All right. So we're going to give you the hard decision here. We need a StravaCraft Coffee game changing player of the day.
Boy, you know, I'm kind of tempted to say Timmins because I thought he was the best player today.
Oh, boy, you want that hype train to just fly off the tracks, don't you?
I'm not trying to do this. I'm really not. It's not like I'm going in. I'm not even going in particularly focusing on Timmins. I'm honestly trying to spend more time watching Byram because I feel like I'm missing something. And a P.S. Byram had another really good day. Ooh, did he have a good day. Moving the puck around, skating through the neutral zone. He was making stuff happen. Based on the last couple of days, I'd be like, we have to take him. He's just, it's too tantalizing.
Can't stop now.
Yeah. But, you know, recency bias and you get really excited about the young kid showing potential and him starting to get more comfortable to the point where you're like, there. You remember Colorado's first round series doesn't start for another 2 or 3 weeks here. I think it's like 3 weeks. So him, if Byram goes to Edmonton, he keeps practicing, he keeps getting this comfortable.
Starts looking better and better and better.
All I'm saying is that at some point the temptation's going to exist where they're like,
did we just play this dude?
Kevin Connaughton. Well, who like Connaughton and Barbario have done nothing.
They just existed, yeah.
No, I mean, they've done nothing to warrant any kind of, like, criticism, or it's just that everybody gets excited about the kids.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, both of those guys have looked rock solid. Today it was Barbario and Timmins together. They were maybe the best pairing of the day. And, like, and I, but Timmins was awesome today. Multiple times Bednar gave him daps because of plays. Not only was he shutting players down defensively, but he was stripping them of the puck and kickstarting breakouts the other direction and then jumping into the play.
I mean, by the sound of it, Oro, it seems like they should let Timmins play in the exhibition, maybe. But, you know, we'll have to see. The
Gerard got yelled at today.
Did he really?
Yeah, because he wouldn't shoot.
No, that's same Gerard, all
right. Right, like Gerard had the puck. He had a shooting lane. It closed pretty quickly, but he had it. Didn't shoot. Tried to get something. Tried to stick handle his way through some traffic. Lost. Got knocked down. Lost the puck. It turned into a 2-on-1 the other way while Bednar was chirping at Gerard about shooting, and then defensively, Gerard got knocked down again and lost the puck as he was trying to clear it out of the zone. So it was a Yikes. That was a bad shift for him, but he responded as he always does. The next shift he came out was flying, and then when he had a chance to shoot, oh, he shot. And there's one thing about Sam Gerard is that he listens.
Yep.
Like he, when the coach leans on him, when he gets a little too comfortable, he'll get Bednar or Pratt in his ear about, hey, you need to be more aggressive, and he takes it to heart. It's one of my favorite things about him is that the guy is just so coachable.
Super coachable.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I mean, we'll have to see. Realistically, again, I think if everything goes well and people don't get injured, you're not going to see Timmins and Byram in the playoffs.
I don't think you will anyway, man.
And there's a good chance you don't anyway, right? But at the end of the day, these are guys that are fighting for roster spots for next season just as much as they are in this playoff bout.
I would 100% give between the exhibitions and three round robins, I would give Byram and Timmins one game each and kind of have it be a steady rotation. You want all those guys to kind of get there. You want everybody that you take with you, I think, to get
game through those four kind of
to at least get into a game. Yeah. Yep. Oh, another guy who I thought looked really good today playing center mind you, and this is meaningful because he didn't always do that, in between Landeskog and Calvert was Shane Bowers. Yeah. And he created, oh man, I don't remember who it was defending him, but he stressed somebody out.
Yeah.
He went flying up the ice, like cut loose, like open ice, long stride, explosive first couple of steps, and all of a sudden Bowers was on top of him. And it was like, I gotta commit a penalty on this guy. Uh-oh, and yeah. Bender was the one calling penalties, and he allowed it. And he was like, we're cool. But it was totally holding.
That's and, what you get from a defensive defenseman coach.
Right? He's like, looks good to me. Great job stealing him off there. But totally held him and then created a scoring chance for Landy on the rush. Wasn't a great scoring chance, but it was a scoring chance.
You love to hear it. You love to hear the kids all playing well in situations like this, in opportunities as many players on the team have stressed and said, look, for the young guys, this is an opportunity to prove they can hang with NHL caliber players. And it sounds like all of them are.
Oh, dude, I was critical of him yesterday, but Sheldon Dries kicked ass today.
Yeah.
He scored the first goal, made a couple of great defensive plays that started odd man rush the other way. He was very, very good today. And Bednar was all over him. He loved it. He was all over Dries.
Yeah, Bednar, pretty talkative and positive in these training camps, to be honest. I mean, he'll get the negative shouts too, but
yeah, he'll get on guys, but a lot of love out there today, getting after the guys who were doing what he wants to see. Seriously, Byram smoked Kadri.
Did we so we said Timmins was our Strivecraft coffee performer?
It should probably be Dries because he scored the goal.
Okay. So Timmins, Dries, it can be either way. Strivecraft coffee is the CBD infused coffee, which has really changed lives, which you can now purchase in K-cups, whole bean or ground, whichever type you prefer. The CBD is not psychoactive and has been known to help many different aches and pains, even anxiety and other things as well. So head on over to StrivecraftCoffee.com and use code DNVR20 when you purchase to get 20% off when you buy. And, of course, we also have one of my favorites, DraftKings.com/sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there if you want to download on your phone and do it that way. Either way, you can head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook and bet on everything your heart desires, whether it be baseball, which real games are happening right around the corner. I believe today is opening day, not for the Rockies, but for the league, correct? So bet on that. Get all sorts of crazy things when you bet on any home team for the first game of the season. For every home run they hit, you get $5 in free bets. So bet on the Rockies, expect 3 home runs. That's a free $15 bet for you.
Right? I will say, watching the exhibition games, that ball flies at that new park in Arlington.
It's going, baby.
There are going to be some home runs in the next couple of days.
So look forward to that. Of course, if you want to bet on all other sports, they have futures set up for basketball and hockey as well, and we'll have every day, every game bets once they are fully back, as well as table tennis, golf, NASCAR, you name it, you can bet on it over at DraftKings. And when you download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DNVR when to sign up, for a limited time, you'll get a $1,000 bonus when you use that code. So head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook, sign up, must be 21 or older, Colorado only, bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and first bet match, each up to $500, deposit bonus requires 25x playthrough, restrictions apply, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast, presented by Davidson's with Rudo and AJ. We've talked about training camp, we talked about the Kraken, we've kind of avoided the elephant in the room from today. One of those elephants better than the other. Cale Makar skated today.
If you want to call it that.
He skated today, not with the team, by himself, did not do a ton, but he did skate. That confirms it's not COVID, at the very least.
It was like maybe 10 minutes.
Sure, but the fact that he's in the building.
Maybe.
Nonetheless.
It was very, very limited, and then he was out of there. But we saw him.
A whole lot better than nothing, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Seeing him was like, because we were starting to build towards, oh, my God, maybe it's COVID.
Right.
Because we hadn't seen him working out. And we've seen all the guys who are not playing are working out around the rink on the ground level.
Yep.
And we hadn't seen him yet. And so it was like,
oh, boy.
What's going on here? Knowing that if you tested positive for COVID, obviously you had quarantine, you had to isolate. Man. And so you weren't allowed to be at the rink at all. We'd seen everybody else. Even when Bowers was injured, he was still riding the bike, and we saw him and whatever, right? And so we were building towards at least that speculation getting louder. That's done now. And now we're on to what fascinated me today about the reaction. What truly fascinated me was McCarr leaves practice. Nothing appears to be wrong with him. Nothing, nobody sees anything. There are no warning signs. He leaves practice, and we got, is he injury prone?
Yeah,
not from everybody, but like there was a segment of people who started, okay, hey, he got hurt twice during the season. Now we are 2 days into camp and he got hurt again. Is he injury prone? Nathan MacKinnon misses today. Not a single person freaked out. It was the universal reaction in my world anyway. Every person that I saw that responded to me when I sent out the tweet that there was no Nathan MacKinnon on the ice, it was either a GIF that was like, oh my God, like, you know, and it was entertaining, or it was, oh, it's just a maintenance day. Everybody has them.
Yep.
There wasn't any freak out.
Well,
even though Nathan MacKinnon regularly misses like 10 games a year.
Like, That's what was weird to me specifically, because it ended up being Nathan MacKinnon, right? Because let's pull up his numbers right here. First year, he played the full season. His second year, only played 64 games. Third year, misses 10 games. Then had a full season, 74, 82, and then played 69 and was going to miss a significant portion of the last half of this, or the last 11 games of this year.
He'd only missed a couple this season, but was due to miss maybe the rest of them.
Right. So it's crazy to me that MacKinnon doesn't have that stigma in a career where you can regularly expect him to miss 10 games.
Yeah.
And Makar has played one NHL season.
Yeah.
And is injury prone all of a sudden.
In his college career it was not a thing.
He had like one injury, which was a concussion, I believe, in his college career. And that was it. And that was his freshman year.
And it was super minor.
Yeah.
Like it was not a thing. Sorry, I'm putting the lotion on my cracked elbow because it really hurt.
You're good. Well, then,
So it was just interesting, the perception, right?
And like McCarr, like he was crazily injury prone either. Had this season played all the way out, he'd have played just shy of 70 games. So
yeah, right around the same that MacKinnon would have ended up playing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's funny because like Girard, always healthy during the regular season, but both both playoff runs, he got hurt in game one and then game two, to the point where we even have a comment in here asking when Girard suffers his annual playoff injury.
Yep. It'll be EJ stepping in, but
yeah, EJ will take over that role. And then if both Makar and Girard route, I don't know who would run the power play after that.
I'd wager Graves, probably.
I was going to say Barbario.
Barbs is a decent choice, too. Just give it.
But it would kind of depend on who's actually in.
That's true,
too. Because, like, if say, Timmons or Byram is in, you might just... If Byram is in, you're definitely putting him in there.
Yeah.
Oh, five forwards is the wave of the future. We don't even need defensemen moving forward.
The team's already doing that in juniors. That Sasha Mutala was the defenseman quarterback for the Tri-City Americans this year. Like,
well, and they're terrible. So,
right.
Maybe we shouldn't copy the Tri-City.
Maybe not, but they played Sasha Mutala in literally every situation humanly possible.
I mean, you have to. He was their whole everything. Yeah. But anyway, I did find that really interesting. I put out the whole thing. Oh, interesting lines today. And then like buried at the bottom was no Nathan McKinnon. And like the response was so tepid. Yep. It was just like, oh, okay.
That'll be a problem when it becomes a problem, basically.
And I love the difference in yesterday. McKinnon was like, oh yeah, McCarr will be back soon. Like, don't worry about it.
Yep.
And today Landeskog is like, I'm not allowed to talk
about it. No one can comment on anything. And Jared was like, you know, I can't talk about them.
I feel like after yesterday, the players probably got a stern reminder.
Yeah, like
that, hey, when talking about injuries, you're not supposed to say anything. It's also odd to me that a player would need reminding, because this whole unfit to participate thing was at the player's request.
Yeah.
This was done because of the players. They asked for more medical privacy, and then McKinnon's like, he's fine.
I think he'll be just fine. Don't worry about it.
Nate. Yeah, that guy just—he's just his own. He's his own dude,
for sure, for sure. But you know, I mean, look, at this point, decisions have to get made. The teams leave for the bubble in 3 days now, essentially 3.5 days.
Cut day tomorrow.
Cut day is tomorrow, where teams have to decide who stays and who goes.
And it's an off day,
right? The Avs will not practice tomorrow, so they'll make their cuts based on everything they've seen. And we kind of talked about on that yesterday's show. If you want to check that out, highly recommend you go over there. I'm sure we'll have posts up on it tomorrow as well. Consider subscribing to DNVR for all of our premium content beyond the pod as well to help support us. Always much appreciated. But as we wind down today's show, AJ, everyone on this Avs team believes that they can win the Stanley Cup and that this is the deepest team they've ever played for.
Okay.
How does that match up with recent cup championship teams? St. Louis, Washington, and Pittsburgh.
St. Louis won because of its depth, for right. one. It won because it got elite goaltending and its four lines were just very effective. But they also had Ryan O'Reilly elevated to 1C status. Like, he was a true leading man during the postseason last year, which was weird because he was really meh the first, like, two rounds.
Yep.
And then conference finals hit, and he just took off, and he was awesome from then on out. And when you have that, you know, but we've seen the difference it's made for the Avs. When you have that leading man, I mean, look at how easy you can say what if for the Avs last season, because the three-headed monster did nothing in games 5, 6, and 7 outside of like the Landeskog goal in overtime.
Yep.
That line just didn't do anything. And yep, that's problematic. You know, like your leading men have to be your leading men.
Yep.
Like, just flat out.
Cliche, so, but true. Yep.
You know, and that's matching them up to St. Louis last year. Colorado got a lot deeper. Like, Colin Wilson and Tyson Jost was a second line at the end of the postseason last year. And no, of course, no knock against those guys, but neither one of them are in the lineup at the start of this postseason right now.
Yep.
That's how much depth they added. I mean, you look at it.
Entire second line is exactly what they added.
Yeah, I mean, their whole second line right now, or their half of their top six, we'll say, because we aren't totally sure about actual line.
Whichever they end up with, yeah.
Half of their top six and a third of their bottom six, they're all brand new guys this year.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a ton of additions, and then they just got better on defense. So, this is just a different – they're a different animal than they were last year when they were plenty good enough. You know, they were one save away, one goal away from going to the conference finals as it was. And I think that's the goal again this year. Any loss in the first round will be viewed as a disappointment.
Extremely disappointing, yeah.
No matter what happens. I would say a loss in the second round, even if it gets to 7 games, you're still feeling like
probably a slight disappointment. Yeah,
I would say a slight disappointment. If you get swept in the second round,
that feels assuming, real bad. Yeah,
you're assuming something's gone really, really wrong.
Yeah,
but they get to the conference finals, and it feels like this is a win no matter what, right?
Yep, for sure.
But
it's still hockey.
Yeah, like this is still the NHL, dude. Yep. Like this is still, we call it the hardest championship to win because it is.
Yep.
Like you don't see, you know, yeah, we had Chicago win 3 out of 6 years. We've had Crosby and Malkin win 3 cups in their careers. But you just, the variance in getting there, like those are Hall of Fame laden teams.
Yep.
All time teams. You know, that's like during the 90s when it was Colorado, Detroit, New Jersey, and then Dallas like crashed the party.
One in there, yeah.
And even then, like Colorado lost in Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals. Like the truly, truly, truly great teams will emerge. Yep. The question is whether or not this Colorado team is truly a great team. And it's fair to wonder. They're still, it's as talented as any in the West. I think there's probably a talent disparity with a couple of the teams out East.
I would agree.
But there's also, you know, goaltending is the X factor there that could change all that.
And plenty of those talent disparity teams out East, cough, Tampa, have not managed to get it done.
Well, and like even them, like even this great Steven Stamkos run, right? The Steven Stamkos, Victor Hedman era.
Yep.
They've lost in the cup finals. They've lost in Game 7 of the conference finals. Yep. They've gotten swept in the first round. All of that variance just reminds you, this is a really hard league.
Yep.
And this is going to be the hardest of any of the cups to win.
This is the playoffs. There's no Buffalo. There's no New Jersey. Oh, right. There's no freebies here.
The only freebie right now is Chicago in the first round against Edmonton because they aren't icing a true NHL caliber goaltender.
Yep. So
that's it. Like otherwise, I was nervous about that series because I trusted Corey Crawford, but if Corey Crawford's not good to go, they don't have a horse. Who's gonna carry that buggy? The buggy just sitting there.
Got to get out of the starting gates to win.
Straight up. And I like how Colorado matches up against anybody in the West. I like them all. I like every single one of those matchups, some more than others. But I think they can play with any of those teams. And the two teams out East that truly make me nervous would be great series.
Yep.
And they beat both of them during the regular season, so it doesn't matter.
At this point, we're just in the waiting room, right? It's time to get there, get it going.
Yeah.
Fire it off. Dude,
we've got one more show to do before they leave for Edmonton, and then we have an entire week of previewing. Like, we'll have one game next Wednesday, but then we have an entire week of just waiting for round robins to start.
Yep.
It'll be fun, though. I think next week we'll probably use most of it to preview the qualifying rounds.
It should be a blast either way, but you know, it can't come here fast enough at this point. Yeah, so
straight up, man, I'm ready.
So let's do it. That's all I have to say at this point. We're going to get out of here for the day. As always, thank you everyone for listening, watching along, however you consume the content. It's always appreciated. We will be back tomorrow with Free Skate Friday and a guest talking not only Avs, but Winnipeg Jets as well with Murat Atesh. Should be a fun time. We will talk to y'all